It is good to be here once again as we're here to study those things of divine nature and put to practice the things that we study and learn and grow towards perfection. This morning I want to talk about the importance of hope. The importance of hope. And I want to start with Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Verse 25 through 35. Mark chapter 5:25 through about 34, somewhere in there. That we've read this before, but there are still lessons that we can gain from this woman with a flow of blood and how she had trust and faith in Jesus. And we too can have trust and faith in Jesus. We can also look at this, that he heals the physical, but he also heals the spiritual. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better. Rather, she got worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Mark chapter 5, 25 through 34. Mark 5. Now let's look at verse 28. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitudes throwing you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And then verse 34. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. You know, there is no mental condition worse than feeling that there is no hope. No hope. This lady had been ill for 12 years. She heard about Jesus. Jesus could heal. She touched his garments. Immediately, she was healed. She had faith in Jesus. Jesus sensed what had happened. Who touched my clothes? He asked the question. He already knew. Jesus don't ask questions for information. He already knows. The woman confessed that she did it. Jesus declared, daughter, your faith has made you whole, made you well. Some translations will say whole. I think the old King James may say whole. The new King James will say well. Her hope has been fully rewarded, we see. What a power there is in hope. Hebrews was written to encourage the Jewish brethren to hold fast to Jesus. Look at Hebrews 10 and 23. We'll be looking at some scriptures. We've got to hold on no matter what happens in our life. Sometimes we experience physical sicknesses. Sometimes it's spiritual sicknesses. But whatever it is, we want to hold on to Jesus. We want to believe His word and have faith and trust and hope in Him. Hebrews 10 and 23, here's what the Hebrew writer says. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let's read that again. Hebrews 10, pardon me, and 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And we made that great confession in the plan of salvation that, you know, we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and we are willing. We were told the whole, you know, just our brothers and sisters that we're willing to obey Him, to follow Him. And we want to make sure that we keep that confession. Let us hold fast to our confession with our confession of hope without wavering. Don't be back and forth with it. We set on the word of God and we believe it and we stay there. We can see that her hope has been fully rewarded. Always remember that. Remember that her hope was rewarded. And we must stand on our confession. Not just in the good times, but when we have hard times and bad times, stay on that confession that we made, that we do believe in Jesus. We know that He's going to take care of us. Jews were persecuted, but had not yet resisted under blood. Look at Hebrews, since we're there, Hebrews 12 and 4. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 4. And we're going to be persecuted. Not necessarily unto death, but we're going to be persecuted. If you live for Jesus, you're going to be persecuted, and so we might as well get ready for that. And so we find in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 4, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. In other words, you have not resisted unto bloodshedding, he says here, have not been persecuted unto death. There were those who were persecuted unto death, but we haven't been persecuted unto death. You know, I think that's what he's talking about there. And so we want to be faithful no matter what. And we have another good scripture here, Hebrews 10. And I don't know if we read that one. Not him. Hebrews 10, 34. Did we read that one? Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. For ye had compassion on Paul, on me, he said, in my bonds. Hebrews 10, 34. Look at that one. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. For you had compassion on me in my chains. I want to think this is Paul here, but we'll say the Hebrew writer, but it sounds like it's him. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. And I'm going to go ahead and read 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We'll stop reading there. So we can see here that when Paul, or whoever, the Hebrew writer, was going through some things, brethren took care of his needs. They took care of his needs. His needs, whatever those needs were, when he was in chains, when he was in prison, or whatever, they supplied his needs. Another good thing that we want to remember, that we don't want his, we don't want to slip away from the word. Do not let truth slip away. Sometimes we'll let truth slip away. In Hebrews chapter 2, let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. And we'll read verses 1 through 4 of Hebrews chapter 2. We'll just be looking at the scriptures that deals with hope. This is what the Hebrew writer tells us here. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. We've got to take heed to it. We've got to make sure that we stay focused on what we need to be doing. Let's hold on to the word. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, this salvation is great. God made it a plan for man to be saved, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. Let's hold on to our salvation. Do not let truth slip away. Always hold on to truth. Never let it go. Because that's what's going to save us. The truth is what's going to save us. And we should always be willing to look for the truth. Sometimes there's things I may not quite understand. So what I'll do, I'll study that, because I want to know it. I don't want to guess at it. I want to know. And I remember back in the, I'm not turning back there, but the prophet said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so sometimes people say, what you don't know don't hurt. Don't ever believe that. What you don't know can hurt you. So let's always try to make sure we understand the truth. Let's look at the definition of hope. And Vines gives a definition of hope. The happy anticipation of good, the most frequent significance. The happy anticipation of good, the most frequent significance. Hope. Look at Titus chapter 1 and 2. We won't hold you too long. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, where Paul was writing to the preacher Titus. And he was instructing him. Let me get over and find that. Titus chapter 1 Titus 1 and verse 2. Look at this hope here we have. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. See that hope there we have? We have eternal life. but we must be faithful. In hope of eternal life, we have it. We have obeyed the gospel. We are Christians. We are saints, but we have to be faithful unto the end. Remember, Jesus told those in Revelation, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. And I've noticed sometimes people in the body of Christ, they're faithful for a while, and then you hear about them, they then have fallen away, left the faith, shack it up. Old people and new and young people, don't make no difference, and just lose their salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 21 is next scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. We want to look at this one as well. 1 Peter 1 and 21. Talking about hope. Talking about Christ here. Who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory. Now watch this. So that your faith and hope are in God. It's not in silver. It's not in gold. It's not in things. It's not in money. Your faith and hope are in God. And if you notice there, Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. And I watched game shows, The Price is Right, and I watch those game shows. And people will win those things and they're excited. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just wondered how many times are we excited and thinking about Jesus and read his word. Look at what he says here in 1 Peter 1 and 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. See there? We wasn't redeemed with silver and gold. We're not going to take any of that with us. And we talked about last week how all that stuff going to be burned up. Every bank that's on this earth, all that money is going to be burned up, every bit of it. Why put our trust in those things? And nothing wrong with money. And you know as well as I know, when you don't have money, sometimes you have a hard time. And I was just looking at this. We checked on our insurance, homeowners and automobile insurance, and we won't know how come it keeps going up. She said, every time they bill us, it's going up. And she explained to us that because a tornado came through Bowling Green and tore up a lot of houses and a lot of cars, automobiles, and he said it went up because of that. And I never even thought about that. I sure did not. But we still want to hold on to Jesus because he tells us that he's going to take care of us. I want to show you Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 16. And we're almost done. Give me another maybe 5-10 more minutes. I want to show you Acts 16. There's a song that we sing. Some build their hopes on the everlasting sand. And all of that, and I don't know exactly how those lyrics go, but at the course of it, my hope is built on Jesus Christ, and it's going to stand. It's going to last. Acts 16, and look at verse 16. And we'll read down to verse 19. Now it happened as we went to prayer. that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her master much profit by fortune telling. We used to have them right here in Bowling Green, them fortune tellers. That one on Russellville Road said she could read your palm of your hands. And people would go over and spend their money, won't tell her, so they want to know about their future. Well, you pretty much know about your future. You acting crazy, you know what's going to happen. If you're not wise, you all pretty much know what's going to happen. With fortune telling. And the thing about the fortune tellers, a guy told me he went over there, said him and his girlfriend was having trouble, and she wanted to go. And he said he didn't believe in her, but believe in that. But he went because of her and said they asked you a lot of questions. And then all they do is just, they ask you those questions and get all the information from you. She already knows what about your life. And then you open up your hand and she can read those lines in your hands and all that. All that is just fake. Just fake is all it is. And anybody that, surely Christians, not going to be dealing with no fortune telling. But look here in verse 17. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, "These men are the servant of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. And look at verse 19. But when her master saw that their hope, and that's what we studied, that word hope, that their hope a prophet was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. We can see here that the love of money is a strong sentiment, attitude. 1 Timothy 6 and 10. And every time I hear people quote this verse wrong, let's help them. The world, because here's what they say. You know, money is the love. The money is the root of all evil. You know that, don't you? I said, no, I didn't know money was the root of all evil. I said, now, if you got to look at that right, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with having money. And like I said, if you don't have money, sometimes you can have a hard time. You can do a lot of suffering. But these people, we can see that the love of money is a strong sentiment, attitude. It caused these wicked masters, these wicked masters of the girl to plan the persecution of Paul and Silas, because cut off their money, and those Paul and Silas cut that money off, so to speak, making that profit, and they were all upset and gave the apostles trouble. But we see that Paul, even though they beat him or whatever, they didn't change their attitude towards that. Fortune telling is wrong. Always been wrong. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. We're getting pretty close to the end of my lesson. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. Let's look at verse 26 and 27. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to the saints, and the gospel was a mystery. We know at one time in Old Testament days it was a mystery, but now it's no longer a mystery. Look at verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, in you, he says, the hope of glory. So we know that for centuries, the Jews overlooked the prediction or the prophecy and prediction of the Old Testament. And the Old Testament would explain what's coming in the future, and that there be no difference between Jews and Gentiles, that we all are going to be one in Christ Jesus. The Old Testament prophesied that. The definition we find of hope, desire with expectation of obtaining what is desired. This lesson concerning our hope, especially during stressful times. We had a class where they asked us, we went through some required courses, they said, and they want to know about your stress level. Is it high? Or is it low? And I put low, because with time, we was going through some stuff. I think everybody got a little stress going on at times. It may be low, but we still have it. And so this lesson is good. We still can have hope in Christ. And when we have that hope in Christ, we want to eventually get rid of that low stress level. Get rid of that low stress level. Hope is the mainspring of all action. Hope, energy, and endurance. And we'll look more about this next week. We'll just stop right here. But the importance of hope. And never lose hope. We always have Jesus. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so we need to believe that. There may be some out there who's not a Christian. You need to obey the gospel here in 2024. You've had time. I know you heard it many, many times before. You need to obey, because one day your time is going to be running out. You must hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of your sins, confess Christ before men, and be buried with Christ in baptism. If you are a Christian and you have gone back into the world, back into sin, please make your life right with God while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.